Nets training camp is underway. We get into all of the goings-on there, new Nets signings, Lance Thomas and CJ Williams, and also talk pickup basketball etiquette coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Nets podcast. I am your host, Josh Bass, and joining me to celebrate the start of the NBA season again with training camp getting kicked off. It coincides with the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. I think by purely coincidence, it's Marcus Barahal. Marcus, camp is back. How great is this?
Oh, it's fantastic, Josh. Shana Tova, is that correct?
Yeah.
Shana okay.
Tova. I was a big sleepaway camp person back in the day, but it's my second favorite camp to NBA training camp.
Yeah, that's saying a lot, too. I know how much you love your camp experience as a child.
Yeah, it was a great time. We played a lot of basketball there as well. On today's show, we're going to kind of break down a lot of the preseason hype that we saw coming out of media day. Some of the new signings at the swingman position, Sir Lancelot coming across town, Lance Thomas, and then journeyman CJ Williams, who has bounced around the G League and got a cup of coffee with the Clippers and Timberwolves as well, the NC State product. We'll kind of talk about those guys and if we see them having any impact. And then we have a lot of personal news to discuss, some musings surrounding the best one-on-one rules, because I have something coming up actually via work that we need to discuss. And then Marcus, you did some improv and I was there to witness it on Friday or Thursday rather.
Yeah, you were. Appreciate you coming out as always. Yeah, it was a good show. I don't know how much we'll talk about it, but it was good.
I thought we were going to recap every sketch.
Yeah, I have my detailed notes ready. It was improv obviously, so I remember none of it, which is always good.
Yeah, well, you inspired me to sign up for level one. So.
Have you signed up yet?
No, but we'll talk offline. I'm definitely going to.
Okay. All right.
So all good there. Marcus, Nets Media Day took place last week. The biggest story, I think, was the unfortunate, unexpected news of Kyrie Irving. It looks like it's going to be the return of mass Kyrie again, suffered a facial fracture, playing in a pickup game. The Nets did not disclose who was the one that actually hurt Kyrie, I guess out of fear of that player being doxxed, assuming it was most likely some end-of-the-bench guy. Doesn't look like it's anything too serious, but not a great way to start off his Nets career.
No, it's a little ominous, but the one thing that I can take away from it that's like a positive is, like you said, maybe we'll get some masked Kyrie. I almost want, like, this is like not a good thing, I would assume, but I kind of want like every player in the NBA to like fracture their face at some point just so we can see them in a mask. Oh, I just think that looks, it's great. It's so cool. I love that Rip Hamilton just like wore it every
Rip
time.
Rip Hamilton's great. Yeah. So you want it to be kind of like the hit TV show, The Masked Singer, and it's just The Masked Player.
Yeah. I love The Masked Singer, by the way. Did you see Egg performing last week?
I've like watched the collective maybe 45 seconds of it. I just know that people like it because it's such a train wreck, right? It's so bad.
Yeah, I've never seen a full episode, but the clips are very good. Egg performed an old Lady Gaga song last week, which was spectacular.
Who are the hosts? It's like Ken Jeong, and then some other people.
Yeah, I have no clue. I've exhausted my Masked Singer knowledge.
Okay, all right. We'll do some research for the next show, and then you'll be able to kind of walk us through. That's going to be your homework. I think Nicole Scherzinger, I feel like I've seen her face in the commercials.
That sounds right.
But yeah, no, it's a, I definitely see some parallels between the Masked Singer and Kyrie Irving. He's going to go on the show one day. I think Antonio Brown was in it last season. Definitely has not aged too well.
I just realized that the Masked Singer could be a great name for Victor Oladipo if he ever commits to the mask full time.
Wow. Oh my God. Amazing.
Oh man.
Can we edit the basketball reference page right now?
We probably should. I don't know if I have editing power, but I feel like that could really work.
That's really good. So obviously the Kyrie news, not too fortunate, but doesn't look like it's anything major, completely precautionary, that he's being held out right now. Should very well be back, not necessarily for the first preseason game coming up on Friday where the Nets take on Ceci Franca Basketball Club of Brazil, but when they play the Lakers and make their China trip, should be perfectly fine, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it seems like from all indications, like he's just day-to-day, so it definitely will be fine for like the regular season at worst, but maybe this means that we don't see him as early in the preseason, like you said.
Yep. Some other news around camp, the center battle, really after the first day of practice, it seemed like Kenny Atkinson was extremely complimentary of both Jarrett Allen and DeAndre Jordan, saying not sure who's going to win the center battle yet. Very complimentary of Allen and some of the work he put in over the offseason. I have to imagine he's going to get the center spot, but you know, I think this is kind of just the usual first few days of camp. Obviously, Kenny wants to keep his options open and kind of talking up everyone who will be in contention for a starting spot or rotation spot. So do you make anything out of this?
Not necessarily of Kenny's quote, but I think that Jared Allen was talking about how the playoff matchup against the Sixers and Joel Embiid kind of like motivated him this offseason to get stronger and that kind of thing. So I think it's good to see him at least like recognize the flaws in his game, because I know a lot of players are just kind of like, oh no, like I just need to work on this random skill that doesn't apply, like shooting threes or like things that necessarily won't make them a better player. But to hear Jared Allen like focus in on something that you and I both agree is something he needs to work on is good. And I think that it'll probably be similar to what Atkinson did last season with Dinwiddie and Russell in terms of like kind of riding the hot hand, which you don't really see at center, but maybe like defensively or if someone's having a good game, catching lobs or that kind of thing, like just playing whoever's hot down the stretch, I think is going to be the main strategy.
Yep, agreed there. And we'll see how that plays out. I think this is probably the one position where I'd say where, depending on preseason play, it could be make a difference in minutes at the start of the year where maybe Kenny says he wants more of a veteran presence there. But I think regardless, Allen is clearly a superior player and has done enough with the Nets in his first 2 years, really outperforming the expectations when you take into account that people thought he was very raw when he was drafted. And he still is, but he's really put together some nice seasons that I think he'll be the starter coming in. And of course, today we're brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. A lot of the talk around media was surrounding Taurean Prince. He seems like he's going to be the Nets starting four. He and Kenny have a connection that even though Kenny left right before Taurean Prince was drafted, still kind of Taurean grew up in that that Brooklyn system or that Atlanta system that Kenny had helped to implement. It was a big cog there. So he seems to really be taking his defensive role seriously. He has the tools for it, definitely, but really hasn't come into fruition in terms of the actual play on the court. But given that KD's out, Rhodey Krootz, we're not sure what's going to happen to him, obviously. It's very well that he couldn't play it, might not play at all this year. Prince is really going to have to step up on the defensive end. So it's good that he's kind of embracing that role, right, Marcus?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that this is like another situation where it helps to have guys like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on your team, because I think that for a lot of these guys, like maybe last year on the Nets or like on a team like the Knicks this year or things like that, it's kind of in contention as to who should be like the go-to offensive guy, and guys maybe like want to prove themselves or this and that. But I think Kyrie and KD, once he's healthy, are like so respected around the league offensively that I think it makes a guy like Prince, who maybe could be gunning for shots or trying to prove himself on the offensive end, I think he recognizes and realizes that he doesn't have to do that on this team, and he can kind of focus all of his energy on the defensive end, which is a good thing because he has like a good frame. He played the power forward spot like in college, so he's got experience with it, and I think that if, like you said, he can lock in, he could be a really, really helpful player for the Nets.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like for someone like Taurean Prince, even though the defensive output hasn't been there so far in his career, for what he's shown on the offensive end, becoming a really good three-point shooter, and this was nowhere near a strength of his in college. He was actually a very consistent three-point shooter, and his defense was thought to be kind of more the sure thing coming out of Baylor. Given that he's made such a huge improvement in one area, it speaks really highly of his work ethic. And I feel like those types of guys are people that can expand their game elsewhere. So I think he's going to be a pretty solid defensive player this year. I don't think he's ever going to be a Paul George, Kawhi Leonard level, but I think he's definitely going to be serviceable and not an ideal number one defensive option against some of the stalwart wings in the league, but definitely enough of a guy there that it's not going to hinder the Nets when they're playing these top wings, and they're not just going to go off for 40 points a night and really torpedo the Nets' chances of a top 4 or 5 seed in the playoffs this year.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he'd get like exposed on the defensive end. And that's like, he's the only real like guy that they have who can even defend that position. Cause I think the next closest would maybe even be Karras, who's just like a little too small.
Yeah. Too small, but don't worry. Reinforcements are on the way when it comes to the defensive wing position. CJ Williams, Lance Thomas, two signings made by the Nets. Marcus, first, let's start with Lance Thomas, because even though we are gradually making you a Nets fan, you still have some loyalties to the Knicks. So you've watched Lance his whole career. How hype are you that you still get to watch him as part of the Nets now?
He's fine. I was actually like higher on Lance Thomas, I think, than a lot of Knicks fans were during his time there. Like, I know our friend Gavin Shaw, and I think some other people have said that he's only like still in the league because he went to Duke. But I don't know. He's like, he's fine on the defensive end. He has like a reputation as being like a really good defensive player. And when you look at the metrics, like some of them support that. Some of them say he's like a little below average. So I think it probably is somewhere in the middle where he's like a fine defender. He does have size, like Taurean Prince. He's 6'8". He's like a little beefier though. He's never really done. Yeah, he's thick. He's never really done much on offense. But again, this team doesn't really need that. I think that the biggest thing for him is maybe trying to fill that Jared Dudley role in terms of leadership off the court, where Lance Thomas was like in the D League at the time. He was in China. He worked his way back into the NBA after being like part of a huge team at Duke, and just having that kind of mental toughness. And he was like extremely well respected in the Knicks locker room. He was a co-captain, even though he didn't play, which is like obviously not super common. So I think that he can bring some intangible stuff and maybe become one of those guys like Jared Dudley was last year that's kind of holding the team together behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm kind of with that. Like, I don't think, listen, Lance Thomas is not going to make or break the next season, but I think he is a really nice depth signing in the wake of what's happened with Wilson Chandler and Rhodey Kurz. Because one, as you mentioned, you start off that he's a great locker room guy. And obviously, anyone that's at the end of the bench, if there's any sort of locker room problem there, that's just going to be a no-go from the start. It's a completely low-risk signing for the Nets. He's literally fighting for a roster spot. I think there's a good likelihood that he'll get it, given his experience, but there's absolutely no guarantee there. And secondly, or thirdly, actually, his defense is solid, but unspectacular, as you mentioned. He has the size, but he's not going to. He's definitely a bit slower afoot than he used to be when he came into the league. But I think his offense actually has a chance to rebound, where he's always going to be a very low usage guy. Can't do a lot with the ball in his hands. But he became kind of a pretty decent three-point shooter with the Knicks, wouldn't you say, Marcus? It was just last year where, for whatever reason, he couldn't buy a shot. But the kind of the seasons before that, 2017-18 season, shot 124 threes, made 40% of them. The last kind of his three seasons before this, he was really in the 40% on a low usage of attempts, but he can still knock them down. So you have to hope that last year was an aberration with his three-point shooting declining to sub 30%, and that he can make enough shots and also be a solid enough defender that that Kenny feels comfortable giving him 15 minutes a night.
Yeah, he's never going to like create his own shot. But like you said, I think he has become like a capable spot-up shooter after taking like literally zero threes his first few years in the league. He's like up to like 1.5 to 2 per game and hitting, like you said, around 40% or a little less over the last few years. So he's definitely become capable in that area. And maybe that's something that he can translate to a guy like Karis LeVert. Obviously, that's probably a stretch, but another guy who came in and wasn't necessarily viewed as like a great shooter, maybe you can make him more consistent. I don't know.
We can only hope. We can only hope that Lance Thomas is just picking up the young guys.
He's the Chip England of the Nets now.
Yeah, he might very well be at this point. So another signing the Nets made has been swingman CJ Williams joining the fold. Guy that has bounced around the league, had a nice season with the Agua Caliente Clippers, and I just love saying that. Was with the who was he with last year? He was with the Iowa Wolves last year. He's had cups of coffee with the Clippers and Minnesota Timberwolves, but he's kind of another guy fits that 3-and-D mindset. He shot it terribly in the NBA, but actually a pretty good three-point shooter in the G League over his career, 39% on a little under six attempts per game, and definitely has a guy who's kind of slow but like strong, chiseled frame in that like Draymond Green mold where he is just like a beefy dude. So I kind of like this signing. I don't think it's going to make a difference in the end, but I like it as a depth play.
Yeah, and like similar to Lance Thomas, he's a guy who has had to like battle through the G League, through playing overseas. So I think it just helps to have those kinds of guys who, like, they're not all going to become PJ Tuckers, but just like they all have that work ethic and like the, you know, that they're not going to be a problem in the locker room.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't know. I think like the Nets roster right now is at 20 players, and given a lot of the uncertainty, I'm really not sure what's going to happen. Obviously, we have to wait to see what happens with Rhody Kurtz, Wilson Chandler. The Nets are going to get an exemption from him. Jalen Hands hasn't even signed, so he's just going to play for the Long Island Nets without a contract or without an NBA contract. He's just going to be on a G League deal. So there is a lot of opportunity for guys like Lance Thomas and CJ Williams to make the team. John Egbunu, who's a guy that played at Florida, kind of a no offense type of center, but really sturdy post defender, got signed. He's definitely not going to make the team. Deng Adel was signed, who's a player that has been interesting at Louisville. He can make the roster, but it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out with kind of those 14 and 15 spots, I'd say, and then some of the two-way guys as well.
Yeah, and we like those guys will have to play at some point, it seems like, just because, I mean, last year we saw it with Alan Williams. We saw it with guys like Mitch Creek coming in. Yeah, Big Sauce. So, like, those guys will get used at some point throughout the season. So it's all about making the most of the opportunity. And, yeah, all of these guys that we mentioned could have a shot at some point this year.
Yeah. The only thing that it does, like, concern me about is that other guys who have been people fighting for those spots in years past, now they're looked upon more to contribute. So Theo Pinson is someone that's likely going to have a spot on this team. And he showed flashes, but is still very inconsistent shooting the ball, has flashes of playmaking brilliance, but also very turnover prone. I think his kind of energy can be used on the team, but is he really going to be able to differentiate himself from David Nwaba, for instance? Jana Musa talked about how he doesn't want to play in the G League this year. He wants to be able to be a staple on the big team. So can his playmaking and shooting be used? He's someone that looked pretty... He has flashes of brilliance and also flashes just being looking lost out there because he doesn't have the athleticism to bank on. His skill level always has to be on point. And we saw that in Summer League. There were times where he didn't look great. So these guys need to work on their consistency because if there's another injury or two, let's say to Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Kyrie Irving, I mean, these guys aren't the beacon of health. Guys like Pinson and Musa will have to step in for a bigger role.
Yeah, and a guy who did that, like, pretty well last year with Shabazz Napier. Like, eventually it became like he was in over his head, but I think that he filled in like pretty admirably for a couple of games, and I think that that's kind of what they'll have to hope for from Pinson, who did look good like in times in the G League, and like he hit that huge shot in the G League playoffs. But yeah, you want to see it more consistently.
Absolutely. So that's kind of the initial musings from training camp. Marcus, I don't know. How do you feel about these? Because I'm always like, there's so much fluff that's into it. I just want to see how things look once games are getting started. And I feel like each team comes in with a player or two in mind that they really want to hype up, some storylines that they really want to promote. And it's always difficult for me to take these comments at face value without a huge grain of salt.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to hear like everyone kind of positively talking about Kyrie and KD and those additions and those guys kind of sticking up for each other. Obviously, Kyrie made that comment about him and KD hoping to retire together, like in Brooklyn. But yeah, like you said, I mean, we've seen those things change so quickly that it's hard to take it super seriously. But at the same time, I guess it's good that it's not like outwardly negative, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want outwardly negative. But I guess I don't even know what I'm saying at this point, because I don't want outwardly negative, but then I'm doubting the overly positive. I just want to fast forward to the games.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Mark, let's get into the personal musings. So I gave you a little bit of the download of the situation before we started recording, but at my place of employment, which is not just the Locked On Podcast Network, it is also a New York City-based company. There's been some trash talk between two guys, and they're having a game of one-on-one to see who the best player at my company is. So I'm actually very excited for this. We're all going to go after work on Wednesday evening. There'll probably be a dozen of us go over to watch them play. It's going to be hilarious. The trash talk is already going. And we were talking about what the rules are going to be for this one-on-one game. So I thought it should just be straight 21, ones and twos. They were saying two games, best two out of three to 11. I heard someone even say, one of the kids said, winner gets ball after three, but loser gets it before. Marcus, if this was on the line for you, what are you saying is the rules for one-on-one? Because right now we just need some clarity. And as the basketball podcaster, they're looking to me to help build the rules that they're going to play it by.
I would probably stray closest to what you said. I think 21 is kind of a little high for one-on-one. I think 11 is probably right, or maybe even 16. But yeah, I think just keep it simple. Like ones and twos, winner gets the ball. That's pretty much it. Like call your own fouls. I don't know. Some people play where like if you get a stop, you like the play stops, and you what? Just like you get the ball checked to you at the top of the key, like instead of like grabbing the rebound and running. I guess because I don't know. Do they get tired? I don't know. I think that like I've never been a huge one-on-one guy, but I think like overcomplicating it is not the move.
You can't overcomplicate it because ultimately like the rules will be the rules, but it's ultimately mano y mano, seeing who's going to go and get that W. And the rules can affect things, I'd say, but you know, no stopping, no all this stuff. Just give me straight 21 ones and twos and that will do it.
Yeah, the stopping is like my biggest pet peeve whenever I play pickup. It's like people calling fouls when it's like not like a massive foul. I don't know. I feel like that's like a New York versus non-New York complaint, maybe. It's like people who are like from here don't usually call everything, but people who are maybe like transplants will call just like every little foul. But then at the same time, they're like grabbing and holding you on the other end because you won't call the foul. So mm-hmm. They're taking advantage, Josh.
I don't know. I'm so excited for this. I might invite you to come just to like call the game with me.
Oh, I would love to.
It's going to be magical. This has been in the works for a long time, and I'm finally excited that it's going to happen on Wednesday. And I guess I'll have a report back to the listeners out there to see who gets the W. I think it's going to be my boy Ben Doe, but we'll see.
Yeah, I would love if you can have a box score, some highlights, maybe we can go over for the next podcast. That'd be great.
Absolutely. No, I can definitely put that together. It's not like I'm busy or anything. So we'll be happy to do that. And until next time, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Himalaya, we're everywhere. Rate and review the show. We love to hear your feedback. Please follow us on Twitter. I am at JMBass_. I did a nice hit with Josh Lloyd yesterday on the Locked On NBA show, talking about what to expect after the initial Nets training camp updates. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. The podcast, of course, is at Locked On Nets. And until next time, be well.
Bye.